So today we're returning back to the book of James, first chapter, verses 19 through 21. And as you're opening your Bibles to that particular passage, I wanted to remind us why we're here and what we have covered so far. And recall that the book of James is this wonderful book that if you had to give a topic to the overarching book, it would probably, I would give it, and many others that comment on this book, as the living faith. Or in other words, what does the living faith look like? So for example, if you had a seed of an orange tree and you planted it and a tree grew up, what would you expect that tree to produce? Oranges, absolutely. And so James walks us through what living faith ought to look like and should look like in the faith or in the lives of the believers. And now we're going to be today looking at verses 19 through 21. But recall what we learned in the first 18 verses. Recall that in verses 2 through 4, we learned that faith, living faith that is, responds with joy to trials and to all the difficult circumstances in life, with true joy. We learned also in verses 5 through 8 that true faith and living faith asks for wisdom during trials. We learned in verses 9 through 11, that is, that living faith values things of above, values the right things. Verse 12 also, we learned that living faith understands and awaits the rewards that are coming in the future. What a wonderful verse that is, verse 12. And then recall last time we talked about verses 13 through 18. And 13 through 15, we learned what? That we are our own worst enemy. If you read 13 through 15, recall it says that your own evil desires are the ones that draw you away from God. So that's what living faith is teaching us. And then how wonderful, we also learned in 16 through 17 that God is a good giver of all gifts. And then finally, we ended on verse 18 last time, where we learned that it is God that saves us. And how does he save us? If you look at verse 18 again, it says, of his own will he brought us forth. How? By the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. So in verse 18, we learn that through living faith, God saves us by the word of truth. And so it is at this point that James starts pivoting a little bit. And in the following verses, he is teaching us and telling us how living faith now responds to the word of God. Previously, we learned how it responds to circumstances, trials, and so forth. But going forward, he's going to teach us how it responds to the word of God. Well, how does it respond to the word of God? How should my living faith, your living faith in general, respond to the word of God? Well, in a nutshell, if I had to summarize it and put a title on this mini sermon, I would say that it responds by being a good student of the word of God. Living faith responds by being a good student of the word of God. So let's read the text. Verses 19 through 21, this is what James teaches us and says. He says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow with wickedness, and receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So in that passage, many, many wonderful truths. What I want us to glean for today quickly are five steps or five items that James teaches us. Five steps that in being a good student of the Word of God, we see good faith respond. So again, if you look at just first or verse 19, three of them are mentioned there. Which is the first one? So then, my beloved brethren, says James, let every man do what? Be swift to hear. So that's the first item. Good student of the word of God starts, first of all, with being swift or quick to hear. Be quick to hear. What does that mean? Be quick to hear what, first of all? In the context, we see that it's be quick to hear the Word of God, as we're discussing. Well, as you're sitting there and you're thinking, my gosh, actually, that's so easy to do. I'm here, I'm listening, so am I not being quick to hear? And the answer to that is actually yes and no. Why? Because how many times even think of Jesus when he was addressing the masses, he was saying, those that have ears, let them hear. So there's actually a big difference between hearing and listening. Something that goes in the ear and then comes out the other one is not hearing, but something that actually goes in and actually is in your head is hearing. So the first step in being a good student of the Word of God is being quick to hear, dear brothers and sisters. The second one is what? The second one is be slow to speak. Be slow to speak when you are a student. Think about it this way, logically. If you are trying to learn something, does it make sense for you to stand up and all of a sudden be speaking and start teaching on that topic? No. Think of your history classes or maybe math classes that you had back in high school. How often were you speaking in those classes? You probably were a little bit, but it's because you were distracted and maybe that adversely impacted your grade. So be slow to speak is the second step that we see here. If you turn to Proverbs 18:2, and I want you to do that actually. Turn to Proverbs 18:2. This is what it says over there. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. You might want to write that down and mark that down. Look what Solomon says again. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. So that's how Solomon describes a fool. Someone that doesn't take the time to listen, but jumps up and immediately wants to give forward and offer his opinion. What does James here tell us? He tells us, first of all, be quick to hear and be slow to speak. Absorb the Word of God. Don't be a fool. What does a fool look like that is being described here in the more practical sense that Solomon just spoke about? Well, have you ever been in a conversation where you're talking to somebody and you're talking to them and as soon as you take a breath, you see that they jump in and they offer a bunch of their opinions and it seems like they're just waiting for you to pause so they can jump in? Is that person slow to speak? No, they're not. They're very fast to speak. And that's not what James is telling us here. You know, growing up, in a lovely Christian home, we got spanked every once in a while, but not that much, to be honest with you. However, we did hear, and me personally, I did hear quite a bit of lectures in my life, where if I did something wrong, I would get set down, and I would hear a fairly lengthy lecture, right? And typically, the lecture would go something along the lines of, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing, this is what you ought to be doing. And so when that would happen, my parents would say, don't do this. My initial reaction, I can remember to this day, is that I would want to jump in and say, but I did this for this particular reason. But don't you understand, this is why I did it. My brother made me do it or something like that. That, obviously, was not being slow to speak. And before we move on to the next step, I just wanted to highlight two more passages from you, from Solomon, from Proverbs. You might want to jot these down. Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the middle of words, sin is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Proverbs 17:27 also says, he who restrains his words has knowledge. So there you go. More support in the Old and in the New Testament that says, be slow to speak. It will definitely benefit you. So those are the first two steps. The third step, as you see in verse 19, it says, be slow to anger, James tells us. So let me go back to my example of parental coaching that I received while I was a child. You know, I really can't recall many instances where I was very angry and flying off the handle, but I do recall plenty of instances where I was in the receiving end of the conversation, and there was resentment building over the course of that discussion. And anger doesn't necessarily need to take the form of somebody yelling or screaming. I just want to point out and draw your attention to it. But it could take a form of resentment. It could take the form of you disagreeing with someone strongly. And in my case, it took the form of when somebody would sit me down and say, okay, you know, you're wrong, and here are the points where you're wrong. I wouldn't engage him in a dialogue, but in the back of my mind, I would say, no way, I'm right, and here's all the reasons why I'm right. I just wouldn't tell him that, right? Then, when the person would ask me to do something or point out based on the Word of God what to do, what the right thing would be to do, I, in the back of my mind, I would actually think, no way I'm going to do that. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And so in my particular case, that was the manifestation of the anger. In yours, hearing the correction and not wanting to change or perhaps verbally expressing it might be your manifestation of it. James clearly says here that if you want to be a good student of the Word of God, which you ought to be, you need to be slow to anger as well. Proverbs, look at a couple other passages that support this in the Old and the New Testament again. Proverbs 16:32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Wow, that's a powerful verse. If you think about it, if you're excusing your anger, whatever your excuses might be, Solomon says, for the anger resides in the bosom of fools. One more time. Psalm 37:8 also says, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. So it can't get any clearer than that. So those are the first three steps of being a great student of the Word of God. Before we move on to the last two, look at the verse of 12, verse 20. Here James tells us the reason why he wants us to and is asking us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why is it? Well, because angry living is not pleasing to God, as you can see in verse 20. So let's move on quickly. Step 4, James tells us, put off sin. The specific words that are used, he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. If you read some of the other translations, the analogy and the translation is more similar to someone who's taking off a jacket, a dirty robe. The other day we actually met for Bible study, actually on Friday, and we talked about the dirty garments that even our righteousness is compared to in the Bible. And here James tells us, put off your sin. Put off your sin as you're approaching and becoming a good student of the Word of God. As you're sitting there and you're thinking, wow, this actually is a good study because I know a bunch of people around me who I witness get angry. But it's not really for me because I don't get angry that much. I'm pretty even keel. I would call you to reflect on your own walk a little bit more, because some people, as I already mentioned, express anger in one way. And if you're having a difficult time seeing your sinfulness, just read Philippians 2, for example, where it says, look to others as more important as themselves. And reflect and think, am I really doing that in my life? Are there instances where I am doing that on a daily basis or not? If that still is not convincing enough or convicting enough for you, read Romans 3, where Apostle Paul clearly describes who we are. If you're still, for some reason, unconvicted of your own sin and thinking, geez, I'm not sure what my sin is. I think I'm a pretty good guy. What I would recommend you do is talk to your parents or maybe your significant other and ask them, where do I sin the most? Where do you see the sinfulness in me? And I guarantee you, the closest people to you, they'll point out and say a couple things that maybe you have your blinders on. I'm not going to volunteer for that job, so please ask your significant other and don't ask me so we don't have friction. So the fourth step, as we talked about, is put off that sin. And lastly, what is the last step is receive with humility, as it says in verse 21 here. What does it say? It says, receive with humility the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Wow, a word that is able to save. So again, it says the fifth step is receive with humility. What does that mean? Maybe you're sitting there and wondering, how can I receive with humility? How? In the following manner. understand and realize that you are someone, I am someone who knows you need to learn. Let me repeat that. Be someone who knows you need to learn. And you might think to yourself, I do that all the time, but do you really? Do you find yourself, and I do sometimes, that you're sitting, maybe even here in this church or another church, and you're thinking to yourself, geez, I've already heard that. Maybe I could even teach this guy something about this. Do you ever find yourself doing that? That's not being humble and learning with humility. Do you also find yourself sometimes sitting in church and saying, I knew that already. I've heard that already. Can we move on to something else faster? That's not humility either. I think when we do hear those sermons that perhaps we've already heard on the passage, the appropriate humble responses to God, geez, God, it looks like I need to hear this or I need to learn this again. Why? Maybe I didn't learn it or I didn't absorb it the first time. That's what humility looks like. So as we wrap up this short message, and there's so much more in there that we could glean, again, I want to bring us back together to James' main point of what living faith looks like. And in this particular passage, living faith in someone who's a true believer looks like it is something that wants to learn and be a good student of the Word of God. Specifically, again, what are the five steps? It's being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, putting off sin, and learning with humility. Now, granted, none of us are perfect in any of these areas, and we continue to stumble. However, we are to work at them, as Paul says throughout all of his epistles, and to emulate Christ, and only in heaven will we be perfect in all of them. Amen.